They are teaching tens of thousands of children about God during school hours, and the usual critics out there are freaking out. I'm Stuart Shepherd, and this is First Liberty Live. Thank you for liking and sharing our videos. You're such an important part of this project to help new friends meet us and to get to be interested in the things that we talk about. And boy, do we have something interesting to talk about today. Joel Penton is founder and CEO of LifeWise Academy. We also have Holly Randall, who's an attorney with us here at First Liberty Institute. Hi, Joel. Hi, Holly.
Hey, Stuart.
Hey, Stuart.
Glad you're both here. Joel, first, just explain to us, how does LifeWise Academy work? What's it all about?
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's exciting to be a part of this. LifeWise Academy provides Bible education for public school students during school hours. So most people hear that and they think it sounds, you know, crazy. How could this happen in 2024? And what few people realize is that in 1952, the Supreme Court ruled that public school students can receive religious instruction during school hours if the program is provided off school property, if it's privately funded, and if students have parental permission. Sadly, this has been kind of under the radar for the last 70 years. We became aware of it a few years ago, created a plug-and-play program that any community across the country could implement to provide Bible education for their students during school hours, and it's really starting to take off.
And what's interesting to me about this is there's such a difference between having a right and actually employing that right and using your freedom to enjoy that right. And that's what you did. You just saw it and you said, okay, we'll do that.
That's exactly right. As I said, it has been around and used here and there, but just, I would say, underutilized for several decades. Our program, LifeWise, was inspired by a program in my hometown that started several years ago that saw 95% participation rate, meaning 95% of all the students in the elementary school were enrolled in the program. They reached out to me to say, you know, how could we see this thing grow? And that's kind of where the idea came to start this plug-and-play program.
Okay, to give people an idea of the scope of this, how many schools, how many students?
Yeah, we are today serving 330 schools across 13 states. 31,000 students are enrolled today, but we are already confirmed next year to be in nearly 500 schools across 20 states. We expect that number to grow, and we are in the most inner city of inner cities. We're in the most affluent suburbs. We're in the most remote rural communities. We're even confirmed next year in Los Angeles, California.
Cool. So the impression I get is this has grown faster than you ever anticipated. You did not anticipate this.
No. Well, on one level we did. I mean, on one level, we always wanted to reach as many students as quickly as possible. But when we started and started seeing some initial success, we set a goal, which we thought was a big goal. We said, let's try to serve 25 schools by 2025. That was our goal, 25 by 25. And here we are in 2024, having more than 10x'd that goal.
Now, you're drawing attention because you've got such a big footprint now. I read a hit piece, I'm going to call it, on NBC News, where they somewhat fairly explain the program, but then they offer some really unfair criticism. I'm going to read you a couple of quotes from it and just get your response. One of them is from an English tutor who works at several schools where your program is, and she says, whether it's happening on campus or not, this program is bringing religion into the school. It's not fair to the kids of different religions, she says. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would say that I would respectfully disagree, that I would need to agree with the Supreme Court of the United States on this matter, that it is most certainly not bringing religion into the school. I mean, in fact, you could have a conversation about whether that would be a right thing to do, but frankly, that's not what's happening here. We are literally removing students from the school, so that's not what's happening. And when this person says it's not fair to students of other religions, I, again, would have to disagree. Anyone is welcome to participate in our program, no matter your religious background. And if you are of a different religious background and you would like to start your own program, you are free to do that. And so this is the United States of America, is what I would say.
because the law covers everybody. I mean, it's not just evangelical Christians, it's everybody. That sets up the next quote, which frankly I just love. Some parents and critics, this is NBC News again, are, quote, accusing LifeWise of using schools to draw children into an evangelical faith tradition whose members overwhelmingly vote Republican. That's when I spit out my Diet Dr. Pepper and thought, this is just ridiculous. What did you think when you read that?
Well, I thought on one level, like you said, is kind of funny because, you know, we are teaching, I don't know, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and last I checked, they're not able to vote. So I'm not sure what Republicanism has to do with that.
No idea.
But on another level, I'm just sad to see it politicized because this is about something much more important. It's about something much more fundamental, which is sharing the word of God with young kids, you know, with reaching human hearts, and to reduce it to some sort of political agenda is cheap, it is misleading, and it's just honestly, it's a little gross.
So take us inside the program. Kids get on a red school bus, typically. They ride to a nearby location, typically a church, I presume. What happens once they get there? What do they experience?
Yeah, they get a Bible class. And so in the same way that kids typically get art class once a week and music class once a week, now kids in these public schools can have a Bible class once a week. Our curriculum takes students through the entire Bible. In first grade, they start in Genesis. By the time they're done with elementary school, in fifth grade, they've been all the way through Revelation. And every lesson is teaching a Bible story, asking the question, how does this connect to Jesus? How does it connect to the gospel? And asking the question, how does this transform our character? And so they go through that throughout all of elementary school. And then in middle school and high school, they have other class offerings. But just think that now not only are kids learning math and science and all of that, but they're learning the Bible as part of their public school day.
And there are snacks.
That's true. Occasionally there are snacks.
Very good. Hey, how does the school handle it? I, my understanding is they can't encourage the kids to go. They can't discourage the kids to go. What can they do?
They can coordinate with us, and that's all really we ask them to do. We wouldn't want them to breach any policies or laws, you know? And so, yeah, they are kind of neutral on the matter, but they're able to coordinate, to facilitate in the sense of, you know, we work with them to set up a schedule that works. There's a variety of different ways the schedule can work. It can be during lunchtime or during library time or during recess time. So we work with them on that. And then we work with them on how we're tracking attendance and permission slips. And then they just let it happen. And we're seeing huge impact. Oftentimes more than 50% of the entire school will enroll. And again, like you said, school administrators are just letting it happen.
And kids aren't doing this independent of their parents. Parents have to sign off, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's every single student needs a signed permission slip. And so, and no one is required to come, you know, and so it's entirely up to families. We're just giving families the choice, families an opportunity to integrate Bible education into the public school day.
I am wildly impressed with the work that you're doing and what, with God's favor, you've been able to do there. It's just astonishing. I just want you to know, we're proud of you and happy to see what you're doing and wish you so much success in it. But we'll get back to talking to you in a second. Holly, I want to talk to you. How does First Liberty fit into this? Why is this a religious liberty thing?
So we represent LifeWise Academy, and like you said, we're incredibly proud to do so. They, like you mentioned, are going through a period of incredible growth, and we're excited to partner with them and make sure that their rights as a religious organization and the religious liberty rights of students that they serve in those public school districts are respected by making sure that LifeWise has access to these public school districts that they're trying to get into, that the students are able to enroll in the program if their parents are interested in having them attend, and really to make sure that they're not experiencing any sort of hostility toward them simply because what they're doing is running a religious program.
Joel referenced a Supreme Court decision or two that's the foundation for this. Help us understand what the court said and how that plays out in real life.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be too surprised if Joel is, you know, also a lawyer behind all of this great work he's doing with LifeWise Academy, because they have followed the Supreme Court's model to a T. So in 1952, the United States Supreme Court evaluated a challenge to a state statute in New York. It was a case called Zorach v. Clausen. And the New York state legislature allowed students, the legal term, release time, religious education, to leave the classroom and receive a religious education. And there was no expenditure of public funds for it. They were participating off campus. And it wasn't sort of a coercion type of situation. Just like Joel said, students are not being forced to ever attend LifeWise. It's up to them. And so what the bright minds at LifeWise have done has taken these principles from the Zorach case and applied it exactly as he said, in a model that can be transplanted across the country to give students access to these kind of programs. So there's permission slips that they sign. It's a non-denominational program, so they're not, you know, requiring you to affirm any sort of religious denomination. It's based in historical Christianity, and it doesn't interfere with any mandatory courses that the students are trying to learn. So we want first, second, third graders to know their ABCs and their 1-2-3s, but if they want to learn, you know, the story of Jonah while they're at school as well, and the principles and how they can carry that into their life, LifeWise is making sure that they can do that.
Not surprisingly, when something like this begins to succeed, the critics show up, and one that we're very familiar with is the Freedom From Religion Foundation up in Wisconsin. They obsess about First Liberty so much that they actually sent us a very nice Valentine greeting back in February on social media, which was just funny that they did that. But they sent a very official-looking 3.5-page letter to all 600 or so school districts in Ohio, which is where LifeWise has started, but of course they spread far beyond that now, warning them about LifeWise Academy. I'm going to toss you a couple of their arguments from that letter. I just want to get your response. Here's one. They say the program creates, quote, uncomfortable distinctions between students, as it is obvious which students leave school to attend the program and which stay behind. How do we respond to that?
It's just like Joel said, the students are not being coerced to attend this in any way. If they want to attend, they're welcome. And, you know, if there are students of other religions in a certain area, this isn't some sort of decision made by the Supreme Court that's exclusive to Christianity. You could do release time education for other faith backgrounds if that's something that is highly prevalent in an area. And beyond that, you can't use sort of fears of violations of the Establishment Clause, which is what the FFRF wants to make the focus of this. You know, they say that schools are establishing a religion by working with LifeWise. The Supreme Court has already taken care of that, and fears of violating the Establishment Clause that are misplaced cannot serve as a justification for school districts to prevent students from participating or prevent the schools from partnering with LifeWise. That would then in turn violate the First Amendment free exercise rights of LifeWise and of the students.
And I'm not an attorney, but I read that and I thought, you know, don't kids sometimes, one class goes on a field trip and nobody else goes, or some kids take algebra, others take home ec, others take shop. I mean, it's just a dumb argument from where I'm sitting. Even as a non-expert.
Right, and it's about student speech as well. Just like a student could say, hey, I saw a really great movie this weekend. I think, you know, you should come with me and we can go see it again. A student is absolutely free to say, hey, I participate in LifeWise Academy. It's really great. On occasion, there's snacks, but the better part is that we get to learn, you know, the truths of the Bible and the truths of the gospel. I would love if you would come with me next time. And the school can't stop the students from saying that, you know, as long as it's not in the middle of a math class, right, when they're supposed to be quiet. If it's recess and one student wants to encourage another student to come, that's incredible. That's what we want. That's how the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ gets shared.
Yeah, the court has been so clear that even elementary school students still have a First Amendment right. And FFRF tried to make an issue out of just that. They said that, you know, some students attempt to persuade other students to attend. Okay, kids can talk about what they talk about. That's not school speech. They also, and this one got me, first they write in one paragraph, non-attending students are often not provided with adequate substantive lessons while their peers attend the release time class. The very next paragraph they say, students miss valuable educational time by attending. I'm like, they're really reaching here. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It just sort of doesn't make sense. They're kind of throwing whatever they can at to make these arguments, because it's clear that their problem is not with LifeWise Academy, but it's really with the Zorach v. Clausen decision. They are living in a United States Republic where Zorach is the law of the land. And there's a lot of incredible language in there, right? The court says we're a religious institution, or we're a religious people whose institutions presuppose a supreme being, and that the state, when it encourages religious instruction or cooperates with religious authorities by sort of adjusting the schedule of public events for sectarian needs, it follows the best of our traditions. So there's some beautiful language in Zurich that really acknowledges the benefit that students get from participating in LifeWise. And so I think the problem that the FFRF has is not with this program, but they're going to have to take it up with the Supreme Court.
And just to be clear again, we are representing LifeWise and ready to defend them, protect them if anybody should bring a challenge.
Absolutely. Like I said, you know, if we are, for some reason, a school district decides not to participate with LifeWise and their reasoning is, well, it's religious, we don't want to violate the First Amendment, we're happy to sort of come in and say, well, we're going to give you the proper interpretation of the First Amendment, and it fully allows your school district to participate with LifeWise, and they're ready to come serve your community.
What's your encouragement for Joel?
To absolutely keep doing what you're doing. It's clear from the data that you guys have on your website and just the feedback that you've received that this is changing lives. You mentioned it's in urban areas, it's in suburban areas, it's in the rural parts of the country. This can reach everyone. And the gospel of Jesus Christ being shared in schools is one of the greatest avenues to influence students. And so I think what LifeWise is doing is beautiful, and it's an incredible way to sort of make sure that people of all walks of life and of all areas of this country have access to the biblical truth.
Joel, we want people to understand how to connect with you if they'd like to learn more about this. Where can they find out more? How can they make the connection with LifeWise?
Absolutely. Thank you for this question. Yeah, you can visit our website, lifewise.org. That's LIFEWISE. And you can find any school district in the nation. The way these things get started is through a grassroots effort. So jump on our website. Find your local school district, voice your support, join the movement, join the cause. We would love to link arms with anybody who wants to see Bible education for public school students during school hours. Again, lifewise.org. And let me just say, I could not be more grateful. Our whole team couldn't be more grateful for First Liberty, for Holly, for the whole team. We're just so blessed.
We are so proud of you and the work you're doing. It's just awesome to hear the results and the reports and to think about all the young lives that are being impacted. Anything else you want to share before I let you go?
Just visit lifewise.org. Again, we want to, there's 13,000 school districts, 90,000 school buildings, 50 million public school students. So it's a big mission. It's going to take everybody.
All right. We're cheering for you, Joel. Keep doing what you're doing. Thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you.
If you want to see America's religious heritage defended all across this great country of ours, you can make that happen by your support of First Liberty Institute. Joel and all of our other clients never, ever get a bill from us. The work we do is absolutely free to them. And the way we do that is because of the generous support of people just like you who this resonates with. It touches your heart. It hits you in the feels, as the kids say today. And you recognize the value of fighting for what matters most in this country. First Liberty is fighting for what matters most.